Okay.
Guys, so this is a bit of a hard sug as things go, I will admit that. But the sugya in question is Sirtut, which I went around and showed you guys what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, in some, and we'll see what, of Kisvei HaKodesh, there are lines, right? There are lines for the writing. Now, you should just note that where are the lines that we're talking about in Sirtut? Right? It's the opposite of the way we do it in English, which is...
On top.
Yes, on top. Right, they're on top, right? Right, the lines aren't beneath the text, they're above the text. Right, that's what we're talking about in Sirtut. And what I understand we'll see what it is, it takes us is both the scope of this obligation and the nature of the obligation. Where does it come from? What does it apply to? Etc. And as we'll see, there are five cases that we're going to need to analyze, right? Mezuzah, tefillin, Sefer Torah. What? Fine. Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah. Okay. Megillah Sota. Right? And then just words. Words of Sukkim. Okay? Those are going to be the five that we have to analyze. The sugya spans over many, many gemaras. There are rockets going off every 3 seconds in the cell. Oh my god. Okay. And
it's that. It's really
it's what? The siren. No, I know it's not the siren. Right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's what we have to figure out. So first, before we get into the lumdas, we're going to have to get the facts down on this sugya. And admittedly, on this sugya, the facts are a bit difficult. So let's start with the Gemara in Menachot. How do we even get into the discussion of Sirtut in the Gemara in Menachot?
It's a debate between.
How do we get into this discussion? Right? What is the background? Just shot. Yeah. Okay, let's try that again. Right? What brings us in? Right, really? From the beginning. Right? Just shot. Yeah, there it is.
Question of whether you can, when a Sefer Torah, gets old,
good.
You use sections of it.
Good. Right? The Gemara says the following. You cannot turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah because... Sefer Torah is holier, mezuzah is less holy, and ein moridin, mikdusha chamura, mikdusha kala. Now, by simple Gemara logic, right, the Gemara says, it sounds like the reason you can't turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah is only because Sefer Torah is holier, which implies that what? If it wasn't holier, then it would be permitted. But in order for that to be true, that means that the only difference has to be metaphysical rather than
physical,
right? Therefore, the Gemara then launches into a classic discussion and says, is that true? I think there's a better reason why you can't turn a Sefer Torah that wore out into a mezuzah, and lists a series of not metaphysical but physical distinctions that would indicate that you cannot make a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. So let's just quickly see that and see where we get to Sirtut, okay? Right? So the Gemara says, Kayotze bo, Sefer Torah shebala utfilin shebalu, if I have a Sefer Torah utfilin that wear out, ein ozimen mezuzah shlefish ein meridin mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. But you cannot turn that into mezuzah because you can't take something which is holier and make it less holy. Hamoridin, which implies if it weren't for the holiness question. So, osin, you could do it. Amai. Why would you be allowed to do that? And then the Gemara says, here's the distinctions we have. Distinction one, ha-chastuma v'ha-chaptucha. Distinction one is? Good. Is in the Sefer Torah.
It's the, not punctuation, but it's the...
What is stuma v'ha-chaptucha? The spacing. Right? The spacing is, right, if you have it in the Sefer Torah, you have text, right? It ends the parsha, right? Ptuchot are like this, right? Where you just, when the parsha ends, you just leave it till the end of the line open. Stu mode is, right, where you continue writing on the same line. So, physical difference that the Gemara suggests is, What? That in mezuzah, right, it is
Petuchos,
right, meaning the parshut of Kriya Shema, and in Sefer Torah, they are
Stumot.
So, isn't this a good reason to not
switch
turn a Sefer Torah into mezuzah? So the Gemara's answer is?
No.
No, what's the answer?
You're
only taking some of the psukim. Right, you're not taking the whole parsha, you're taking a few psukim in the middle, and therefore it's not a problem. Okay? That is step one. So then the Gemara goes to the next one. What's the Gemara's next one?
Right,
the Gemara's answer is Doma Lahashlim. So then the Gemara's next challenge is, right, is which part of the klaf, right, which part of the skin are you writing it on? So the Gemara says there's two types again. This is not exactly how we do it. Nowadays we just take klaf. Right, we take the whole parchment and we write in it. This is irrelevant. But in the time of the Gemara, they would split the parchment into two. Right, it was like two ply. Right, and then so half of it is called duchsustus, and half of it is called klaf. Which one is duchsustus? Which one is klaf?
Duchsustus is the hairy side.
Right, duchsustus is what's not right, not actually where the hair is, but like right, if I took the side of the flesh that faces outside. Right, that is duchsustus, and the part that faces inside the body, right, into the flesh, right, into the meat, is klaf. So the Gemara says, Sefer Torah and tefillin are on klaf, and mezuzah is on duchsustus. So they are on different materials. So they're different materials again. The reason you can't turn one, well, really two, right, either of these into this.
Why are you working markers?
No. Check on the box.
Yeah, that's even worse.
There's a box right there of experts.
No, it's full. Look at that. Full. Thank you. So the Gemara says the reason that I can't switch from tefillin and mezuzah, Sefer Torah and tefillin to mezuzah is because they're on different materials. So what's the Gemara's first attempt at an answer? This is only the chatchila, right? It's only the mitzvah. And therefore, theoretically, you could switch substances.
How would you be able to do it if it was, I'm guessing bidyevad you'd be allowed to do it?
Yeah, because you're talking about it wore out, now can I do it? That's bidyevad. Right? Bidyevad, what does bidyevad mean?
Post facto.
Yes, post facto. Meaning, it now wore out, now I want to ask what to do. I didn't do it ab initio, right? Or lechatchila in Hebrew.
I was going to say,
Hebrew.
When
ab initio is Latin, okay? You okay with Latin? Right, I know you don't like Yiddish, but is ab initio okay for you? This is the fancy way of saying, right, lechatchila, right? Okay, ab initio, okay? Okay, this is the art scroll fancy English way.
It's a fake language, and it's,
Yeah.
It's what threw me off because we were doing the earlier how.
Anyways, fine, good. So then the Gemara goes through a discussion about this for a while. Right, and the Gemara says, is this really true? So the Gemara distinguishes that it might be that it depends. There's two ways to change, right? One way to change is to switch between parchments. The other is to switch which side of the parchment you write on. The Gemara says, switching which side of the parchment you write on is pasul. Switching between parchments is kosher. The next alternative the Gemara raises on the top of Lamed Beis is, maybe it's a machlokas, okay? Fine, now let's turn to Amud Beis. Six lines down, okay? And this is where we pick up for Sirtut. The next stage in the Gemara is Hamoridin Osen. So let's try this one more time. So the Gemara says again, are you telling me that if it were not for the Kedusha problem, so you could turn a Sefer Torah or Tzvillin into a mezuzah, but there's another physical problem, right? Not a metaphysical problem, but a physical problem, which is Babai Sirtu. That's what we're up to. So who wants to take the relevant passage, right? Sirtu. David, you want to take it? You don't have to. I'm asking. Then please do, yes.
Translated.
Yes, exactly.
I'll pass.
Okay. What? Six lines down in Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Hamarid and Osen, right? The Gemara says again. So if it weren't for the metaphysical problem of Kedusha, are you telling me that we could switch from a Sefer Torah and Tefillin to Mezuzah? The Gemara says, but what?
Hamarid and Osen,
Rabbi Sirtut. What needs Sirtut? Which, what year Sirtut? Mezuzah. Right? Piece of evidence one. This we know for sure is that Mezuzah needs Sirtut. Okay, good.
The Amar Rav Bar Toke, Amar Rav Tamar, Bar Gura, Amar Rav. Komezuzah Sheina
Mish. Mr. Tete. It doesn't have Sirtut. Right? So here we have a clear statement. Mezuzah needs Sirtut. Now, what's the problem?
Yes, don't.
Well, so now there are two stages of this Gemara. Right? The Gemara had said that which two might you turn into, Mezuzah?
Sefer Torah
and Tefillin. Good. So now, which of these does not need Sirtut? What are the options at this stage? Right? There are three possibilities. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or both. Right, meaning, right, which one is it talking about? At this stage in the Gemara. Right? Remember, the Gemara is saying, if it weren't for a Kedusha problem, you could turn a Sefer Torah or Tefillin into Mezuzah. Right? And now the Gemara says, but wait a second, Mezuzah needs Sirtut, which implies that
yeah, that you don't have Sirtut.
One or the other doesn't need Sirtut.
Or both.
Or both. Right? One or, right, not, right, not an exclusive or, right? In logic, simply this. Right? Simply or. Right?
So we know what Sirtut is.
This is the disjunct, right?
I didn't.
Right? Not an exclusive or? Right? It's P, right? Or Q. Right. And in logic, sorry. When it's written like this, it's disjunct. P or Q means either P is true, Q is true, or P, right? Or P and Q is true. All of those are...
Down V is the end.
Correct. This is, all these are possible. Fine? Right? This is the Gemara's logical statement. Good. Continue, David. So let's... Now, which is Gemara... Now the Gemara is going to tell you... Good. Go, David.
The Rav Minaman, Rav Minaman Bar Elkei Dide, Amar Sirtut Shem Mezuzah Halachal Moshe Mitzinai. So he says, according, he goes like his word, and he says that Sirtut on Mezuzah Akhizei Halachal Moshe Mitzinai.
Good. So now we have two facts. One is that Mezuzah needs Sirtut, and that the source is Halachal Moshe Mitzinai. Okay? Now, stop right there for a minute. Okay, what's weird about... Well, actually, you know what? Just keep this in mind. Because what does this imply? Right? What does it imply that Sirtut of Mezuzah is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai?
That the other ones don't have that.
Well, either the other ones don't have it, or the other ones
do,
but for a different reason. Right?
They don't have that Halacha.
Meaning, they might have Sirtut, but maybe not for Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. We'll see. Right, we'll see. Okay, let's continue.
Really matter, does this mean we know
what?
The purpose of why they have Sirtut really matters?
Yes. That's why I'm saying this. That's why I'm making this point.
Yeah, I'm not asking the question. Like,
yes, we'll see. I mean, halachically, this will matter. You know what, right? There will be nafkamin in this. Good.
Do you know what Sirtut means in its requirement?
I showed it to you.
Oh,
I had Zvi walk around with you and show you Sirtut, so you wouldn't ask me.
But that was something else, too, because the Sefer Torah has also, and does it not? When you have to write it, you have to also put Sirtut for it.
We haven't gotten there yet. You don't know that yet based on the halacha.
Based on this, I don't know this, if Sefer Torah...
Well, surprise! Rabbeinu Tam is going to say you don't need Sirtut for a Sefer Torah, and therefore he would think what we do in our Sefer Torah is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Right? Because I want to point out why Rabbeinu Tam says what he says. Good. So Gemara says, Tanoihi.
The Tanya Rav Yirmiya Omer Shomer.
So then he says
that tefillin mezuzot they're not written from kitab.
Right, they don't have to be written next time. I mean, you don't have to write them while looking at a book,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which will at least Maisha will come back to. We'll see whether you're still with us when we do that. But okay.
Okay. They do not require a sirtut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so they do not require Sirtut.
So now the Gemara tells you that what? Whether Mezuzah needs is a machlokes. right? There's a machlokas. Good. What's not a machlokas? Tefillin. Good. So the Gemara says, yeah, so continue. Okay, good. So let's review this slightly complicated Gemara. Okay? So the Gemara tells you that, remember, just shot here, right? The Gemara had said that what? The implication of the halacha of Moridin was that the only reason you can't turn Sefer Torah or Tefillin into mezuzah is because of Kedusha. Right? The Gemara says, but wait a second. Isn't there a physical difference between one, the other, or both of these? Namely, that they don't have Sirtut, but mezuzah does. And the Gemara's answer is, there is a Shita who says that mezuzah doesn't need Sirtut. And according to that Shita, the only reason you couldn't turn Tefillin into mezuzah is because of Kedusha. Okay, but lahalacha, you're correct that the reason you can't turn tefillin into mezuzah is because tefillin don't have sirtut, but we paskin that mezuzah does need sirtut. Right. Good. What is not clear in the Gemara?
Sefer Torah.
Just based on text, right? Sefer Torah, right? Because you could read this Gemara in multiple ways. You could say that obviously Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, right?
You know, by the logical statement that we made before with the P or Q, we're saying if that's stated, either Tefillin or Sefer Torah has to have, and Tefillin doesn't have, then by that logic, Sefer Torah has to have.
So it could be that Sefer Torah has to have, and what it's saying is, look, obviously Sefer Torah, you could turn into mezuzah if it weren't for the Kedusha problem, because obviously they both have Sirtut, right? The only question is Tefillin, because Tefillin doesn't have Sirtut, and therefore the reason you can't make Tefillin into mezuzah seems to be more physical than metaphysical. Answer, it's according to the Shita that mezuzah doesn't need Sirtut. Right? Or, right? Or what? Sirtut doesn't need it either. And this whole Gemara only makes sense according to the Shita that mezuzah doesn't need sirtut, but if you paskin mezuzah does need sirtut, then obviously Sefer Torah and Tefillin cannot be made into a mezuzah. Right? Now, which do you think is more likely? Right, so what do we have clearly? Right? So let's put this, right, we have to be very careful here, just with the facts on the ground. What do we have absolutely clear? Which of these definitely does not need sirtut according to anybody?
Tefillin.
Okay, no sirtut. Which one is a machlokas?
Mezuzah.
Between who and who?
The.
Let's just put. There's a halacha. Right, the halacha, the Moshe Misinai, according to some shitot, is that you need this, and then we have one shita. Who? Gemara. It is Rabbi Yirmiya, right? Rabbi Yirmiya is the one who says ain sirtut, right? Right, Rabbi Yirmiya says you don't need. Okay? Facts in the Gemara in Menachot. Does Sefer Torah need?
No idea.
Not 100% clear. What would your guess be in the Gemara?
Yes.
Right? So Yeshua says probably yes. Why?
Because before when we were making, I guess it's dependent on the fact that you're saying that mezuzah does have. Because before we said if mezuzah has, then it seemed to say that one of the other two does have. Which, I mean, by that logical statement, it seems like Torah has to have if Torah doesn't.
Yeah, but
so there's one textual argument to say that you need, which is what Yeshua says, which is, right, the Gemara only brings a challenge about tefillin, right? But it never brings a challenge from Sefer Torah, which you could just say, which is, look, Sefer Torah was a given that the only problem is Kedusha, right? Right? That the issue is Moridin, right? Or a Moridin, really, right?
Wait, no. When,
right?
Either way you go, you would run into the problem that the other, meaning if Sefer Torah didn't, if it were implied that the Sefer Torah doesn't have sirtut, then there would be a challenge to mezuzah, right?
No, if it didn't have sirtut, like if it didn't have sirtut, it would have the same problem with tefillin.
No, then it would be transferable to tefillin, and then you would have...
No, but the, we're not talking about transferring into tefillin. We're talking about transforming Sefer Torah and tefillin into mezuzah. We're not talking about Sefer Torah or tefillin into mezuzah. That's the question.
Oh.
Yeah. No, this is the sugya. Sefer Torah and tefillin into mezuzah. Right, that's the sugya.
Why is...
The issue is not that we want to make it impossible to physically transfer it. The issue is that...
We want to make it only metaphysically impossible to turn one of these two into mezuzah.
I thought the whole point is...
No, it's not this into these two. It's these two into this one. Right, it's not Sefer Torah into tefillin or mezuzah. It's Sefer Torah and tefillin into mezuzah. Okay? This is a textual argument. Anyone want to give me a conceptual problem here? Right? Anyone want to give me an argument conceptually as to whether or not Sefer Torah should have sirtut?
You're good. My only thought is, personally, I always would go off the lines if I was writing on blank paper. So I would.
Yeah, really, but tefillin doesn't need, so... Right?
Tefillin isn't as many words.
Has more words than mezuzah.
Okay. But mezuzah is smaller than that, so...
Mezuzah
is less than tefillin. Wow.
It's because it's so small, you need to put lines to find
things.
To...
Like, this
is logistics.
Looking at the letters, like, on a constant basis, whereas Torah, you're constantly looking at letters. So
spell this out for me.
Function of it, if you're looking at letters and they're all jarbled up and mixed around, that's going to make it a lot harder to read.
Okay, good.
Right?
So Sean says it's a din in Kriya. Right? It's a din in Kriya, and therefore we should have it. Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to have to explain? So now you've explained tefillin, why you don't need it, because...
You don't read it.
What about mezuzah? And Yoshua says, and this is where it comes back to your point, Rafi, why am I making a big deal about the fact that the Gemara says mezuzah is halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? And the answer is, because maybe Sean is right. Maybe sirtut is a din in Kriya. It makes it easier to read. And therefore, Sefer Torah, it's obvious it needs sirtut, and tefillin, it's obvious it doesn't need sirtut. You need it by mezuzah. Oh, that's why you have halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Because why do I need a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai?
Because
it doesn't make sense. Right? By mezuzah, it's a chiddush. But maybe what the Gemara is saying is that obviously you need sirtut by Sefer Torah because you have to read it, so it has to be straight. Mezuzah, the reason the Gemara has a machlokas about it, and has to say that according to the position that you need sirtut, it's only because of halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, right, is because same halacha, different reason. Right?
Yeah.
Good. What Sean says is a very, very widespread position in the Rishonim, as we will see, right? So Sean is now adopting the position of many Rishonim, Gaonim. He is in very good company. But you see now, Rafi, why I made a big deal about this. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yes.
Isn't it very weird to have something where you already have like reasoning within a halakha, and then from one part like the Sefer Torah, we had reasoning already, and then if we can't extend that to the Mezuzah, then we say it's halakha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Isn't that weird to have that?
Me'achuz. And I want to do today is try to get through some of the Gemara, set up the problems conceptually, right? And then, if you noticed, right, on these source sheets, we're dealing almost, right, the beginning is just Gemara, right, just Gemara. I want to highlight the problems that we need to deal with, right, the possibilities that exist, right? The guys who are normally in my show are like, you've only done one Gemara. You have not yet inundated with sources, and we're still confused, but that's okay, right? But it's weird. Everything about this book is weird, and it's about to get weirder. Anyone want to tell me a Gemara that makes all of this even weirder? Which Gemara makes this whole sugya even more nightmarish? This is a nightmare already.
Gittin.
Good. Gittin is the worst nightmare you could possibly have in this sugya, because this is going to give us, right, this is going to give us a real headache. So the Gemara in Gittin is utterly bizarre. Yes.
Also, it seems to me that you're not able to take, insofar as you can't take something that already, let's say, Sefer Torah, if it, or a tibulin, if it doesn't have the sirtut on it, It seems like we'd normally practically just go ahead and put certain on it, so that...
Okay, good. Good. So David asks that technically I am pulling the wool over your eyes, because right now I'm only asking that do you need sirtut, do you not need sirtut? The Gemara could have answered a different question, which is mutter, right? But not chayev. Right?
We already had that
right. Then maybe the answer is, how could I turn tefillin to mezuzah? You're right, I don't need sirtut, but maybe I put sirtut.
We already had that stuff.
So what does that imply, David?
It's not allowed.
It's usher, right? Is that a proper conclusion? And David is going to see that he's also in good company in the Rishonim. Many Rishonim are going to draw the exact diok that David does. And then someone's going to have to explain to me, why should it be usher to put sirtut when I don't have to? And that's a good question. Why would it be usher?
What else is...
Then you might come to open it and you might think that you're...
Maybe, right? Maybe it's zero to kriya. Maybe it's because kolapater davermin veoseyu nikra hedyot, right? The Gemara and the Rishalmi that the Rishonim will quote in that context is maybe anybody who does something they're not obligated in is nikra hedyot. What is a hedyot?
Dummy.
Well, what's the technical translation of hedyot?
Normal.
Regular.
No. Idiot. Hedyot.
Why is it called
hedyot? Hedyot. No. It's the same words, the same shoresh. It's idiot. Hedyot. Listen to the word. Yes, it's a dummy, but it literally means idiot. Right? Nikra hedyot. He is an idiot.
Why do we call
him right?
Rohanan?
Yeah, why is it called hedyot?
No, in other contexts. In that context, it's using more of the... right? Yeah. It's using the meaning of idiot, which I think is... I think that is like from Greek, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Right? You're right. Sometimes we talk... Hedyot usually just means regular, but in that context of Shalmi, it means idiot. Right? Okay. Good. Yes.
Also, that's not exactly what I fully intended with my question. I was also saying, if you're saying, well, then that's when you're making the tefillin, then it doesn't say Torah, which would mean that it is.
Oh, good. The other point he's saying, or...
Once you're done with the tefillin, and now you're switching it.
Good. So David points out, what another sheet that Rishonim points out, is that there are a whole lot of assumptions going on here, which is, there are two questions you got to ask here. One is, when we say you don't need it, does that mean you don't need... Right? Or, one second, don't need or can't have. Right? That's one question. The second question you're going to have to ask is, does it need to be there for the writing? Writing? Or in the result? Right? Either of these should throw off the entire sugya. Correct? Either of these would throw off the entire sugya. If you said that you don't need it, but you can have it, so then... Just answer the Gemara by saying, it's a case where you put sirtut in, even though you didn't need to. And if you think you can put sirtut in at the end, then just put sirtut in and turn it into a mezuzah. And therefore, David is now channeling two streams in Rishonim. Those who say that we can derive from here that not only do you not need until and you aren't allowed to have it in tefillin, and those who say that you can prove from this Gemara that... Correct, that sirtut must be done before you write and not after you write. Right? Do you see where the Rishonim get what David derived from this Gemara? Right? Remember, the whole point in the Gemara was that the only reason you can't turn tefillin into mezuzah is because it's less holy. Right? But not because of any physical difference. And the Gemara says, what about sirtut? Isn't that a physical difference between tefillin and mezuzah? Right? So the Gemara answers, okay, so that's according to the Shita that you don't need sirtut by Megillah, by Mezuzah. Right? But if you thought you could put it in at the end, this wouldn't prove anything because you could just add sirtut. And if you thought you were allowed to have tefillin with sirtut, it also shouldn't be able to prove anything. Yes, Kevin?
Okay, this might be a combination of those two things, but again, what you said was not exactly what I was going at.
I'm like helping him here. I just like, he's saying something, and so far I've given him two sheet doesn't reach out. But okay, fine, yeah.
Well, they're like right where I am going also.
Yeah, so what are you saying?
So what you're just saying, the second one is that you
just need that, you know.
That in general you need to do sirtut beforehand, right? But then that was what you just said, the second one, and that
right.
Anything when you're writing regular mezuzah or whatever it may be. But then this is where it might go back to the first one, but couldn't that just be saying that, can you not necessarily draw that conclusion in the second one, and then you would...
How would you not draw this conclusion?
Because then you could say the first one where it's just that you can't switch...
How would you draw this conclusion?
You can't change the tefillin into having certain.
Okay, maybe you would say that it's you can't change, right? Or you could come up with like a Metzias argument, which is we're talking about a Sefer Torah that's worn out. Maybe in theory you could do it, but a worn out Sefer Torah, you can't do it because if you try cutting lines in a worn out piece of parchment, it'll tear, right? You could come up with anything, right? Right? You can't change either halachically or physically, right? Either alpi halacha, right? Or Metzias.
Okay, that doesn't sound as good as the first two.
Then you'll see, these are also shita. They're also shita, or at least one of these. Okay, fine. Now, all of this is complicated by this nightmarish Gemara in Gittin. So, it's really quite bad. It really, 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 it really is so confusing. Okay. So, what happens in the Gemara in Gittin? Anyone want to tell me what's going on in this very, very bizarre Gemara in Gittin? Yeah, so Rav Yosef, what does Rav Yosef say? Right, the Gemara is in the middle of a machlokes, okay? That's the context here. And in the middle of that machlokes, the Gemara says as follows. Rav Yosef, man lemalander b'byasar bar samchohu. Rav Eviatar had conveyed a halacha. And the Gemara says, well, why do you trust him? Why do you trust him? How do you know that he's someone you can trust? Right? I mean, how do you know he's either not a lawyer or, more likely in the Gemara,
a truther?
No. How do you know that he's accurate? Right? I mean, it's not necessarily how do you know that you can rely on him because he tells the truth. How do you know you can rely on him? Because remember, with everything being by heart, to trust someone, to be precise, meant that you knew they had a good memory. Right? They had a good memory and that they were precise in the way they recorded things. Which, even if you're honest, doesn't mean that you're reliable in a practical sense. Right? You might want to tell the truth, right, but unless you have the capability of remembering Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh verbatim, right, the chances that you will, right, necessarily convey, right, look, it is very hard, right, it is quite a skill to be able to remember things that way, right? Like people, in Rimon once said that he knows that Rav Ovadia Yosef wrote his tshuvot by heart because he's noticed that about 10% of the citations are slightly off, right? Like, which, I don't, there are many things impressive in that. First of all, that he noticed that. But, right, no matter how good a memory you have, right, Rav Ovadia knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart, but, like, still, when you write things by heart, sometimes it's slightly off, right? A word here, right, which may not make a difference, but sometimes it does.
There was also somebody in the Holocaust who wrote, like, Shuvot, living in the ghetto. And
yes, that should be Mamakim.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and look, to be fair, the Aruch HaShulchan was written by heart, right? The Aruch HaShulchan was written by heart.
This Shavur by heart.
The Shach was written by heart, right? There were a bunch of Svarim that were written when the authors didn't have access to Svarim.
The Shavur by heart, how do you know the difference? How do you know there was a difference? He's basing what? Off what he remembered. Because you're saying he...
The Svarim that don't exist, we have no idea. But the Svarim that we have, we can look whether Rav Ovadia, you know... No, Rav Ovadia quoted a lot of Svarim that no longer exist that he saw in Egypt before the library burned down.
Oh.
Which is convenient in a Hanami, but whatever, right? I mean, it's convenient because he could make things up. I'm not accusing him of making things up, but he could have and no one would ever know. Ever know.
It was a
what?
Commandment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I went in, he went to the library for 3 weeks and burnt it. You know, like, probably not, right? But
maybe.
Definitely not, okay? So fine. So he says, but how do you know that he's a Bar Samcha? And he says, "V'iyu d'shalach leiter of Yehuda." So he says as follows: They had a letter from one to the other, and he said, "Bnei Adam ha'olim misham lekan, the people who come from there to here. What's there to here?
Babel Teretz Yisrael.
Hinkimu be'atzmam." And then he quotes a pasuk in Yoel: "Vayitnu ayelad bizona ve'iladam machru be'yain vayishdu." They have fulfilled in themselves this pasuk, right? What is it? Right, that they've given over the children, right, to right in prostitution. Why? Right, what was he saying? What were they saying?
Wasn't that to do with the Aguna
case? Yeah, but what was the Aguna case? He's not a real Aguna. What is he saying? People would travel from would travel to learn or to do business, and what would they do? They'd leave their family for months, years at a time. So Mimela, their wives are stuck. Either they don't have kids, or their kids have not, right? Right? Have no support system, etc. So he's basically saying, right, don't do this, right? Don't abandon your families for years on end, right? This is not a good thing. And the way he expressed that is by quoting a pasuk in Yoel. Now, in the middle of that discussion, right, the Gemara says, how could he write this letter? Right? V'kasev le below sirtut. Oy, you can't trust Rabbi Aviatar because he once wrote a letter, and in the letter he quoted a pasuk from Yoel, which is a book in Tanakh, for those of you who didn't know, right? You have to know that for this, right? This is background to this. Yoel is a book, not a long book, a very weird book, right? It's a four-parak book in Treyasar, all about, you know, famines caused by locusts, which may not be locusts, maybe a mashal, who knows? It's a very complicated little book. But he once wrote a letter, and the chutzpah, he wrote a letter, and he didn't put sirtut in the letter. So he is not a reliable person. So the Gemara says, and why is that bad? Why is it bad to write a letter that quotes a pasuk from Yoel and not have sirtut? V'amar of Yitzchak, shtayim kotvin, shalosh ein kotvin, azni detana, shalosh kotvin, arba ein kotvin. And what did he say?
He only quoted three words.
So no, the Gemara says, there's a machlokes. Are you allowed to write two words versus three, right? You're allowed to write two words from a pasuk without sirtut, but not three, or three versus four. But either way, is Rabbi Aviatar, does he look good in this story? No, because how many words did he quote? Vaitnu yaled bizona, vayalda machru b'yayin vayishtu, which is?
Seven,
which is, by my simple math,
right? There's a separation in the words, right? And you get three,
right?
And four.
Yeah. Seven is more than four or three or two, right? Which means that according to everybody,
that's what they do with halacha. It's really bad accounting.
That's the solution. Good. So then, so what does the Gemara say? So Amar Le Abaye Atu called Lo Yada Hadar of Yitzchak Lav Gaver Rabu Bishlama Milta Dav Yisvara Lichaye Hagmari Gemara Lo Shmiya Le. He says, look, Rabbi Yatir is a wonderful person. He's a wonderful person. Elamai. If it was something that was logical, something that you knew misvara, and he didn't keep that halacha, then you'd say he's not from. You can't trust him. But the whole kolat derukula was baal peh at that time. So maybe if something is just a halacha, which has no svara to it, so maybe he never heard about it. So it's not that he's not trustworthy, he didn't know. So in a chanami, he violated the halacha when he wrote his letter. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. It means he was ignorant. Okay, it happens. Right? Not everybody knows everything. Okay? You have to be moichel him. Okay? Good, but he's still trustworthy. What's the problem? What does the Gemara say explicitly? Yes, you cannot write even three words or four words without sirtut. Now someone asked me a kasha.
Why?
No, ask me a bigger question.
What about a tefillin?
Yes, what about this? Right? Tefillin, people. Tefillin. Tefillin is, last I checked, way more than three or four words. There are many, many psukim. And yet, evidence that we know for sure is that, according to everybody, what does not need sirtut? Tefillin. And what is there no machlokas about? That a letter that you write with a few words from a pasuk, from one pasuk, needs sirtut. The only machlokes is, do you have to start writing sirtut when there are three words or four words?
Well, maybe it's good.
So Darius says, well, maybe tefillin, it's not just that it doesn't need, it is, right, actively removed from it, right? It is like the anti-reading. Why would it be the anti-reading? And therefore, even, yes, two or three words that you read need sirtut. But tefillin is anti-reading. Why would tefillin be anti-reading?
Because
inside a box.
Because it's inside a box. Yes, it's inside a box. Thank you. That is, who says that? The Rambam. The Rambam says that. The Rambam says exactly that. Yes, Darius and Yeshua are very are in good company also. They are in the Rambam's company. Right? The Rambam is going to say that. The Tefillin are anti-reading. Right?
Okay,
well, technically, okay, I will take that back. Technically, literally, Yeshua is following the Rambam, who says, Lefish, as we'll see, Lishpishahain Michupin, because they are covered. And what Darius is technically saying is the Gaonim, who says, Lo Nulikriya. Whether those are the same thing, probably, but technically, he's the Gaonim, and Darius is the Gaonim, and Yeshua is the Rambam.
It's not all
good company.
It's not the.
David is Chassidi Ashkenaz, is the Chachma Ashkenaz, the Balei Tosfot.
That was a bad
slip. It's not.
I don't know if you want to be the Balei Tosfot either. I feel like you wanted to be the Rambam, but okay.
It's not like the post facto of all the being in a box, so therefore.
No, not post facto. They happen to be in a box. They are. That's their chiyuv, right? Halachically, formally, they are boxable, right? They are boxed. They have to be.
Right. I guess maybe you could say that, but I'd say. You could just say that the point of them is to be, you know, function differently as being.
Oh, good. Those. Very good.
Not to function as being in a box, but.
Good. Good. Now, anyone want to give me a question from Mitzius? Let's try for a moment.
I have a non-Mitzius question.
No. So first, someone give me a question from Mitzius. From Mitzius. Someone give me a question from Mitzius. Like from your lived practice of Judaism. Someone asked me Akasha. Okay, good. One question is... Good. So David is asking the halachic question, which is, wait a second, mezuzah is also covered, right? And maybe back to Rafi's point before, right? Which is, isn't mezuzah also covered? Oh, maybe that's why we need a special halachal moshe nisina to bring it back to the halacha. Maybe that's what that means. Good. That will be a shita. Very good. By the way, I want to point out, methodologically, let's just take a moment, right? This is how you should start every sukkah. Meaning, even if you are going to then be inundated with sources, right, what you do in every sukkah is go through the Gemara, ask all the possible questions, figure out where all the directions are going to go, and before you actually see them, right, your goal by the time you get to the Rishonim is to have predicted 90% of what will be said. Okay? Just know that. That is your goal in every sukkah, is to think like the, right, is to think like the Rishonim, okay? By the time you get there, I want you to know what's coming, right? The exact nuances and the like, fine. We'll figure out. But if you think clearly, you should at least know the general contours of the arguments that are going to be made. Someone want to ask me another kasha from Mitzius? Yeah, ask me a Balabatish, Svara. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dov, for not being afraid to ask the obvious question, which is, what are you people talking about, right? There is no sirtut here. There is no sirtut here.
I put sirtut in my Gemara.
You put it post facto. You can't do that, right? Right? You can't do that, right? How many people write letters? Write sukkim like you're right. You write, right? You write. I don't know. You were. God forbid you're writing a letter, right? You're writing a letter and you
God
write,
forbid.
Right? Ode Yishama Be'arei Yehuda, right? Oy Gewalt, right? There is no Sirtut, right? Usher, how many of you have ever seen someone take out Svi Joffrey's sharp implements, a knife, a razor, a needle, whatever, right? And start cutting, lines into those letters that they write, if they ever write a letter, or when you get a wedding invitation, how many of you have ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Right?
A written invitation? Not.
Fine. How many of you have ever seen a fancy ksuba, which has Odi Shema over the top, with sirtut? Never. I'm telling you, there's no sirtut there. Okay?
Isn't the part where they actually write the agreement with sirtut?
It's like the decorative part. Decorative
part's not put on the line.
No,
ksuba
doesn't have
sirtut.
Ksuba
doesn't have
sirtut.
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. If you have the decorative Odi Shema, not, no, the ksuba itself doesn't have. No. No, ksuba itself is a prenup, right? A ksuba is not romantic. Get that out of your head, right? I mean, maybe it's romantic in the sense that I want to care about my right? I want to care about my wife no matter what happens, which is romantic, but it is a legal contract. It's one of those things you don't really want to... You don't want to be... It's good that it's in Aramaic and that the people who read it generally read it improperly. This way no one understands what's going on, right? That's probably better for everybody at the wedding, right? At one wedding, they needed a stall tactic, because I forget why they needed a stall tactic, and the rabbi decided... This was really not a good idea to try to explain what was going on in the ksuba as a stall tactic. And when he started explaining how this document details the conjugal obligations from the, it just didn't go well. Okay, that's not really what you want to be detailing, right? Right. This was like a weird case in America recently, right? And there was someone who tried to actually detail into their prenup. The regularity of marital relations, right? And there was a big question in courts, like, how do you just, can you do that? But that's what the ksuba does, right? The ksuba actually says that, right? You're obligated in the context of marriage to provide this money, to provide regular intercourse, right? That is what it says. It is a very, very detailed legal contract which includes a bunch of things. Rafi is like, this is why we don't explain it at the wedding. So they have a bunch of people like this. Case in point.
Clarification.
Right? This is what it will look like, right?
Clarification.
So no, it doesn't have psukim in it. It is a contract, yeah.
The clarification was just that they were explaining what it meant. It's not that they actually added that addition.
That's what it says in it.
Normally, yeah.
That's what it says. Okay. There's not like an addition. It says that.
Right.
That's in a normal...
I was expecting that. I used it.
Yes. It talks about money. It talks about food. It talks about intercourse. Right? It talks about whether she's a virgin or not. Right? It is a...
How do they stop
right?
doing that?
No. Have you ever listened to a ksuba? Besulta da. Or betulta da. Or depending on who's reading it. Right? This virgin. Right?
Virgin? It's not...
What?
Right. Yeah, so
I thought that's when they state the name.
Yes, if they're not, then they either read it even though it's not there. The husband accepts to pay the higher ksuba and therefore write it in. Right? The only time when they will sometimes read the ksuba even when it doesn't say it. Normally, they will just skip that over or they'll pretend that it says it or something like that. The only time they won't usually is a giyoret, who halachically has the status of a non-besula, which is has nothing to do with her physical status, yes. And then it'll sometimes write giorta, right? Sometimes it'll write giorta. It'll just write that she is a giorette, and then it's a different story. But
I always thought it was
what?
Two
words.
I always thought they said it
what?
After.
Giorta, a giorette. A convert.
What?
Convert.
Oh.
Right, convert. Right, convert is, that's a halachic statement. That's not a, right? It's a halachic statement. That's not a, it's not a physical statement.
I always thought they said it after, like.
It's not required. It has to say whether or not she is.
Oh, whether or not she is.
Correct. If she's a virgin, it says, right? Betulta. Sulta. Right? If she's not, it says, Bulta. Right? Which is, she has slept with someone. And if she's a giuret, it'll either say Bulta, giurta. Right? If she's giuret, so it's formal. Like in a second marriage also, obviously, she's not a betula. It's not embarrassing. She's just second marriage, right? Then obviously you'll have it and it will say, right? It won't say Basulta because she's not.
I always
right?
had to mention it after the name. It's like Jane Doe versus that version.
Yes, it says Jane Doe the virgin. That's what it says in the document. Yes.
Oh, it's the name Betulta.
Betulta means virgin.
Yeah, no,
Betula.
You made it sound like how it starts. This virgin. I didn't know that's how
it's pretty. I mean, no, it doesn't start. It starts with. On such and such a day in such and such a place.
Gather here today. Yeah.
No, it doesn't say gather here today.
No,
it says on such. It says on such and such a day in such and such a place. This guy married this woman, and then it says whether she's a virgin or not. That's what it says. Okay, like that's what it says.
Oh,
that is that document.
She's not.
And it says not. Then it says not, this non-virgin. That's what it says.
Just to clarify.
This is why we don't explain it. This is why we don't explain it. Super.
Just to clarify also, the men doesn't have this. It just says the guy's name.
The expectation is that...
No, it says this hatan.
Yeah, does it mean...
She lies about it. Does that make it...
No, yes.
No.
Yes.
What
welcome to the beginning of Shubos.
What if she told... What if the husband knows, but, like, you know, he doesn't want that...
So either the husband accepts to pay the higher amount, and then you can write Basula, because it doesn't matter whether she's actually a virgin. It matters whether the husband accepts the higher payment of the ksuba.
Yeah, also think about it, if you're divorced...
So if a husband accepts it, you could write it, right, theoretically. Alternatively, you could just... Okay, I will just point out that practically this really doesn't matter so much, because How many people actually pay the ksuba? Nobody. Right? No one pays the ksuba. No one pays the ksuba. They just don't. The monetary amount just doesn't matter. Right? The reason they don't pay ksuba is because the value of the ksuba is what?
$5.
In America. In Israel, it's a bit different. In America, it's like maybe a few thousand dollars, maybe a few hundred, depending on how you count that. But
I thought you didn't sound like it was very little.
Yeah, well, it's very little compared to a divorce settlement.
Oh, you pay it off.
Right? So the few thousand dollars, the few hundred dollars, whatever it is, depending on the value of silver, doesn't matter. Right? It's just swallowed up in the divorce settlement. Right? In Israel, it's a bit different because they actually do use the ksuba a little bit more like an actual prenup. And therefore, and also in Sephardi circles, this is true also. And there, sometimes you'll hear the chatan committed himself to 100,000 shekel, a million shekel, 2 million shekel. You will be at weddings where you hear that, and then it means something. Right? In American wedding, they just say, right?
It's like the
piece. Right? Meis kukim kesef. Meis kukim kesef is like nothing. Nothing. It's like. Nothing. Just valueless.
That's why in America they have like a halachic prenup that they also do now.
They have other prenups. That's right. They have other halachic prenups which are actually meaningful. The ksuba, in that sense, is not right. Meaning in terms of as a monetary prenup, you need the ksuba. Obviously, you need it to exist. Right. If you don't have an extant ksuba, you can't.
I thought it just binded the actual ketubah legally.
Yes, you remember what I said. Yes, it builds in other things. Anyways. Point of that whole aside was, though I'm glad you now know more about the ksuba and why we don't read it, why we don't actually explain it at the wedding, is it doesn't have pesukim. That was the whole point of this whole thing, right? Now, guys, so, but again, the problem that we have to deal with is this, right? Is that the Gemara says that normally writing a few words of pesukim require sirtut, which makes it very hard to understand this, right? Now, which shita is going to become almost impossible to understand based on this halakha?
Words.
Well, that's hard enough. What's even harder is this. Rabbeinu Tam's shita that a Sefer Torah doesn't need. That's going to be really hard to explain, right? This is going to be quite nightmarish. Right, this is going to be nightmarish to explain. How would you possibly explain the shita that we'll see of Rabbeinu Tam that a sefer Torah doesn't need sirtut if two words of sukkim need sirtut or three words? How would you ever explain the shita that a sefer Torah doesn't need?
Right, and then kriya.
What? Yeah, sefer Torah doesn't have kriya. As I push it has kriya, right? As I push it has kriya, right? You know, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chol Hamoed. All that stuff, you've been in shul, right? You know, right? It's braces, right? Everything in braces is long. You should feel it. You know that it's long, right? Yes. Yeah, and when do you read a letter that's d'oraisa? Pray tell. Like, yes, most of the time it's d'rabbanan. Sometimes it's d'oraisa. Reading a letter is never a mitzvah, d'rabbanan or d'oraisa. Good. How are you possibly going to explain this shita? How could you possibly explain Rabbeinu Tam's shita? Let's see, where Torah doesn't need sirtut, but two or three words in a letter need sirtut.
Reading a letter is there.
What?
Reading a letter
is there. No. What? Fine, but it's not as strong as reading a Sefer Torah, like Zohar, right?
Yeah, but Dylan needs sirtut. Of course, we might not have Sefer Torah.
Why would you ask me why you would or why you wouldn't? What? By the technically, I didn't put every case on here. I didn't. Did I actually put Megillah? Oh, no. Megillah's another case. There we go. Six. Yeah, there we go. Megillah.
Megillah's just Sefer Torah.
What?
Megillah's technically just Sefer Torah.
Well.
Technically.
Yeah, but according to Tom, Sefer Torah doesn't need sirtut.
Yes, so Megillah.
Okay, fine. Good, but why is then two or three words need sirtut?
Well, didn't someone say in their speech how the Sefer Torah is like the entire name of Hashem, so it's one word?
Okay, but no. And then the two words in the in your letter should also be part of that. Why? So, because they're from the Torah.
Why? What are the two letters are part of there?
Any two words from the Torah.
I just
said
the whole Torah itself, its words are what are the name of God.
So if I
being
said
Vayomer
Moshe, as I'm talking about Moshe, my friend, I would have to.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, nobody would.
I mean, not Vayomer, it would be three words, right? Well, two versus three. I mean, three is the cutoff. Or four.
Whatever, yeah. But fine, not by Omer Moshe.
Good, does anyone have any explanation for this?
The Hu Amar.
Anyone have any explanation?
No.
Guys, any explanation?
No, and neither does he, right?
Oh, no, that's not true.
Dang.
What's he going to do? How is he going to have to solve this?
Wait, what's the...
Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh, okay.
Right, how is Rabbeinu Tam going to have to explain the fact that he thinks that Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirta, which we'll see, but two or three words does?
Because the Kedusha is inherent in the Sefer Torah itself, but maybe...
The Kedusha
that's very Lamdish.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so he's going to say... Going to say... What do you do when you are stuck into a corner and you are Rabbeinu Tam? This is like Rabbeinu Tam everywhere in Shas.
Rashi
said it worse.
No, that's not what Rabbeinu Tam does. Rabbeinu Tam has one solution to about 5 million different problems, and that is?
Find another Gemara.
No.
Find another Gemara.
No.
Say it's what God said.
There's two types of sirtas! Oh, you think we're talking about one sirta? No, let me complicate this by telling you that there are two types of sirtas. And what is what they are? Well, good luck, but we'll figure that out. But this is methodologically, Rabbeinu Tam here is so stuck, right? That he just says, I think there's two types of sirtut. That's not what I was talking about. I didn't talk about that sirtut. There's a sirtut that's Sefer. So then, Rabbeinu Tam complicates everything by saying, aha, yes, Sefer Torah does and does not need. It's P and not P, right? P and not P. It both needs sirtut and does not need sirtut, right?
It's the zero and one.
I'm joking, obviously, because that's impossible. Right? It's P and not P prime. Okay? Fine? P and not P prime, okay? If you're okay with that. That did not come out right.
Just do the binumeral.
Here, okay? Yeah. Here, we'll do it with Hebrew, right? Yes, sirtut, right? But not, right? Sirtut prime. Okay? You happy? Right? The formal note.
Right. Tells me you don't buy this.
What? Well, most of the Rishonim don't buy Rabbeinu Tam, but that doesn't stop the fact that Rabbeinu Tam does say it, and we have to contend with Rabbeinu Tam Shita.
Oh, it's
back. Good. What? Yes, it is magnetic. Yes, it is magnetic. Either that or it's magic, and I have just revealed to you my magic powers, and now you should stone me. Okay, fine. Okay. Yes, we are also going to have to deal with Megillah. Now, what would you think? We haven't seen it yet, but what are you going to think about Megillah?
No.
Megillah is your turn?
No.
This point, probably.
If Sefer Torah doesn't, then Sefer Torah
knows. Well, we don't know what Sefer Torah.
Oh.
Right? Rabbeinu Tam says no, everyone else says yes.
But if it's no, if it's no for Sefer Torah, then definitely no for Megillah.
No. If you're writing a letter.
Good. So someone want to read to me the Gemara Megillah? Oh, Megillah Tezayin Amud Beis.
If you're writing three or four words.
What? So Megillah Tezayin Amud Beis.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So.
What?
I spent like 5 minutes scanning.
Okay.
And I just couldn't.
Oh.
Couldn't get it.
Oh, is this
one
second.
Yes.
Oh.
That's
also just toast milk. Oh my god.
Yeah, someone had the big Megillah. Who has the big Megillah?
Can I see this?
It's
oh, that's just a.
Who has the big Megillah? Who stole it?
Big Megillah?
Yes.
I couldn't find that one.
There's
more
one thing
size.
In the back
room.
Wait,
did I take it? Oh no, I took it. That's as I knew it was somewhere. Right? It was there. No, I didn't. I only took it right before Shear, so it was there. Okay. So.
Okay.
What? So the Gemara in Megillah says as follows. Tetzayin Amud Beis, yeah.
Alright, we skip the Gemara and Sota.
We didn't skip it.
We're not skipping. Whatever. It's out of the order of what I put there. You're right. One second. Megillah. I don't know what just happened there.
We gotta just take all this stuff off the tables.
Yeah, this is
a bad move.
I didn't like that idea.
We're not Shalvin for a reason. Like, we don't need...
We don't need a Makom and another Makom.
What?
Because the idea of putting books on the table just... Why?
It's a show-off-y.
It's a schlep.
It's not a show-off-y thing. We're
Shalavim, their tables stay where they are. They're not being moved every now and every single
time. Yeah.
Shalavim, it's all shtick.
No, they also don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Whoa, since the last time I checked, there's been 154.
Yeah, I leave my phone upright just so it shows the notification, and that's it.
A long time ago.
Yeah, so I don't know when the streak developed, but nowadays it's like a thing that everyone kind of just has all their sparring right in the Makom, but like they also, they go.
Yeah, we did that in Gush, we had that also.
I know, but it's very funny because at the Gush, like, it's more believable that people are learning the sparring in front of the Makom, because what he has was like 5 foot tall stacks. But Shalvin, people just get the full set. It's like, well, what's a good filler space? I get a full shot.
Okay. We really don't need it, especially on record, you know? Like, I don't know. Okay. What?
This is on record?
Whatever.
I won't say who's talking, okay? I mean, yes, I am recording this year. But,
How about
Delph
has a
good sparring? No, it's ridiculous. What? Yeah, what?
No, from Andy's time, I think you were seeing
Catherine. Yeah, what did it say? What?
Yeah, okay, maybe it's... Only Sefer Torah doesn't need Tikkun.
Only Sefer Torah doesn't need... No, that's not true. He doesn't think Tefillah needs either, Lalacha.
Right, but this... Right, because it's quoting from Sefer Torah.
But so is Mezuzah.
But Mezuzah's Lach Moshe's.
Oh, yeah. What about quoting a Pasuk? You're saying, it's only Yoel. Oh, it's only Yoel. Only Yoel. Only, you only need Sirtan and Pesukim from Yoel. That's a great Svara.
Yeah, why not?
No.
You have no reason for Sirtu right now.
Sirtu for everything. Isn't it the same for Torah?
Exactly. And because he put Sirtu, that's what makes sense.
Okay. Great. Okay, let me quickly read you the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says as follows. Divrei, after this we'll stop, okay? Divrei shalom ve'emet. Okay?
The words of peace.
This is where's that? That's a pasuk, right? From where?
Esther,
thank you. It is from Esther. Baruch Hashem. Yes. Divrei shalom ve'emet. You're in the Gemara Megillah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you see where there's like a tostos in a box?
Oh yeah,
well,
that's so funny.
Yes, so if you look parallel to the Tosfos in a box.
Oh, is the last one continuation of the last stop? Is that one?
No. No, on top is only Rashi on both sides.
There's a lot of Rashi.
Oh. It's a lot of Rashi and a little Tosfos shoved in a box. Okay? Just the way the page is printed. See?
I've never seen this.
Say Rashi at the top and Tosfos in a box.
Yeah, it's very weird. Okay, that's not the point. Anyways, so if you look at the Gemara says, Divrei Shalom Vamet. What does it mean when. When the Megillah says about itself that it is words of peace and truth, so Amar Rabbi Tanchum va'Amri la Amar Rav Asi milamed shetzicha sirtut ka'amita shel Torah. It teaches that Megillah needs sirtut. Okay, so now we know three things that need sirtut: mezuzah, Megillah, and 2 to 3 words. But here the Gemara says something interesting. Why does it need sirtut? Ke'amita shel Torah. The Megillah needs sirtut ke'amita shel Torah. What does ke'amita shel Torah mean?
The same way they're in the Torah?
No. Ke'amita. What's amita? Emet.
Truth.
Good. Like the truth of Torah. So now, based on this Gemara, what do you think? Does the Sefer Torah need sirtut? So good. So Dov reads like Rashi, Rambam, almost all the Rishonim, who says, Ka'amita shel Torah. That means Torah. Ka'amita, the words Ka'amita shel Torah, like the truth of Torah, means Torah. Which tells us that, does Torah need sirtut? Yes. Good. But I've already told you that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that Sefer Torah doesn't. So how in God's name is he going to read this sugya? What is he going to do? Please, pray tell, what is he going to do? If he thinks that Sefer Torah doesn't need sirtut, but Megillah does need sirtut because it's ka'amita shel Torah, then what does he need to do to the phrase amita shel Torah?
Define it.
Define it as what? Not Torah.
Somehow.
Good. What does he think it means? Look on this board and guess what he thinks it means.
Ox skin. That's a
tour.
Mezuzah. Good. Ravina Tom thinks Kamita Shaltara is mezuzah. Why in God's name would he think that Kamita Shaltara means mezuzah? Come on, people.
I'm thinking.
No, what does it say in it?
What does the word say in it?
Like the truth of Torah, like what Torah is saying is truth is,
which is said where?
In
Shema. In Shema, very good. He says that it's mezuzah, it's not the Torah, it's that thing that only contains parshiot that talk about the truth of Torah, namely Shema. Right? And therefore, Ke'amita Shel Torah is not the Torah, it's the mezuzah. Yes, thank you, Sean. That is how Rabbi Tam reads this Gemara, which, as I said, is not necessarily the most intuitive read of any of the sugyas that we've just read. Okay, tomorrow, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, we have one more Gemara that you have to do before we can actually start pinning down these Rishonim inside, right? And again, I hope I made it clear today. If you don't read all the Rishonim inside, you will be okay. Whatever Gemara you read, try to think about it and understand it, and then at least, even if you haven't seen the Rishonim before you get to Shir, you'll understand where they're coming from. What I want you to do tomorrow, but tomorrow the Gemara you have to see, you do have to see the Rishonim on it. You have to see the Gemara in Sota, about Megillah Sota, right? The text of the, right, Sota text, right, that you erase in the water, with the Machlokas Rashi Tosos there, right, about whether that needs Sirtut. And then you need to, in every single one of these sugyas, there's a Machlokas Rashi Tosos. I said to read all of them. Really what I meant is read any one of them. Okay? They all are very long, and they all basically say the same thing. So try to read at least one of any of those Tosos, any of them, and try to read the Rambams. Get through that as much as you have. But by tomorrow, please read at least one of those Tosos. One. Right? One. And that is not an easy task. Right? If you look at the one in Menachot, it is this whole. If you read them on Menachot, it is like 2/3 of a page. They're all about that long, so good luck. Okay.